Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. I'm Tim Wildman. And joining me today to co-host, we're all three in studio together. We're still social distancing, but it's about 3 feet instead of 28 feet. Ed Battagliano, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. Welcome back.
Thank you. And Fred Jackson?
Yes, good to be here. Back home base. First time, couple of months.
For you? Oh, you mean back in our studio together?
Yes.
Yeah,
he was out last week as well.
Oh, was he?
That's right. So Ed is going to spend the next hour bringing us up to date.
That's right, because nothing happened while you were gone.
We had a little family vacation trip. Our whole crew, our crew of 14, went to Destin, Florida for a week. You know, so it was so surreal because we're enjoying the pool and the beach and, you know, the sunshine and the relaxation that comes with having seven children, six and under. Grandchildren to watch on the beach to make sure nobody drifts too far out. But what was funny was, you enjoy your day, right? And then you go in at night, turn on the news, and the country's burning down. It's like, I don't want to turn this on.
That's right. Or I just want to stay here forever.
Yeah. It was kind of like, I'm not laughing because of the turmoil that the nation's been in. I'm just saying, coming into the room at night and flipping on the TV after you've been enjoying the day like that and seeing what was happening in our country was kind of unreal. But anyway, good to be back. So you were out last week.
I took a week of vacation.
Okay.
Over in the Carolinas.
Where'd you go?
Charlotte and Columbia, South Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina.
Family, friends, or just go see the countryside?
Yeah, I got a son-in-law who's in the military, and he's transferring from Fort Campbell in Kentucky down to Fort Jackson in Columbia.
Gotcha.
And we were down looking at a house for them down there.
Outstanding.
So, had a great time.
And Ed, did you hold down the fort here for us?
I did. Held down the fort.
With who? Who'd you hold down the fort with?
Chris Woodward and Steve Jordahl and Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Okay. Yeah. Did any of you guys say anything that would have embarrassed Fred or me had we been here? Did you uphold the standards of the show?
We upheld the standards of the show.
Okay.
And hey, just to make sure, he erased all the tapes.
Yeah, that's right.
I noticed the podcasts weren't available. I don't know what happened last week. All right, Dr. Robert Jeffers will be with us at the bottom of the hour. That's the plan for just a few minutes. Pastor of the First Baptist Church, Dallas, and heard each weekday morning on the Bible teaching program, Pathway to Victory, at 6:30 each morning Central Time here on AFR. Tropical storm, what's the latest on that, Fred? Do you know?
It is down. And I hesitate to say
it's not
this.
A tropical storm any longer, is it?
No, it's a good wind and rain storm at this point. Came ashore in Louisiana yesterday. In fact, we're feeling a little bit of it outside our studios here in Tupelo, Mississippi, kind of the outer bands. You're going to get some rain and you're going to get some wind if you're along the eastern side of the Mississippi and on up. So Arkansas is going to feel it.
Some rain.
Mississippi, going to get some rain.
And some storms, but
but
it wasn't a hurricane and it was a low.
Yes. Anyway, yes. Right. So we're going to be okay with this one.
All right, Fred. By the way, before we jump into what's in the news, Ed, for our fans out there who want to watch this show and who wouldn't want to,
yes,
how can they do that?
You can go either to Facebook or YouTube, search for Today's Issues, click through, and you'll be able to watch the live stream of this program.
YouTube or Facebook?
YouTube or Facebook.
Okay, type in Today's Issues and watch the show. We also post the stories that we discuss on our Facebook page, so check that out. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, the first story, I had to read the headline about three times this morning just to make sure I understood what happened in Minneapolis over the weekend. Here is the headline. Minneapolis City Council announces veto-proof push to disband police. They have voted, the city councilors in the city of Minneapolis voted to disband their police department in the wake of the George Floyd, the aftermath of that. So, I read through the story, gentlemen, to see, okay, first of all, I can't imagine any city, almost of any size, disbanding their police department. But I read through the story to find out, okay, you had this discussion, you took this vote. Did you discuss what you're going to do once you disband the police department? And I found nothing. The mayor, who is a far, far leftist Democrat, is against this. But the city councilors, who most of them all belong to the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party, they have voted in favor of this, but it seems, as of this hour, this morning, in the wake of this, they're not sure what they're going to do once they get rid of their police department.
I didn't know farming was so popular in downtown Minneapolis. Wow. Huh? Did you, Ed?
No, I'd never heard of the Democratic Farmers Labor Party, which is all
heard of the Farmers Almanac.
Yes, true.
State Farm Insurance.
And what's that candy?
But this is a party.
Yeah,
right.
A political party, mm-hmm. a tiny political party, that's evidently right next to the. It must almost Marxist or communistic, right? In their
I've been looking to find a statement of their beliefs and principles. They are described as affiliated with the Democratic Party, and apparently, back in 1944, the Democratic Party in Minnesota and the Farmers Labor Party united and combined to form this Democratic Farmers Labor Party. And they are said to be affiliated with the National Democratic Party, but I can't find
statement of beliefs. Though the majority of these people associated with the what?
Democratic Farmers Labor Party.
Have never been to a farm.
That's... Huh? Probably,
you think it's fair to say?
Probably be fair to say.
What you got going on here, folks? This is going to be interesting to watch because the city council of Minneapolis, Minnesota, are going to have voted to defund the Minneapolis Police Department. They have a veto-proof override of their mayor. Mm-hmm. Their mayor on Saturday, I think it was, attended a rally or a protest in Minneapolis to speak to those who were gathered, a few hundred people, and maybe 1,000. I don't know how many people, in response to police brutality in the city. And as the subsequent events of the death of George Floyd. So, as somebody said here, this guy's a far lefty, all right? I'm talking about the mayor, Jacob something or another.
Fry.
Huh?
Fry.
Mayor Jacob Fry, far left, as you would imagine, in Minneapolis. But he doesn't support defunding the police department.
No.
So now you've got, and he had to walk the walk of shame mm-hmm. Saturday. I watched that. They shouted him down, told him to leave because he was not in favor. Now, I got it. Okay, I would disagree with this guy probably all day, every day about politics and government. I hadn't sat down and talked to him, but I am a conservative. He's a far left guy. However, I will say this for the man. He didn't surrender, at least at that point, to this insanity, which would have been easy to do in the sense because you got these people that are outraged and they're against the government. They're basically anarchist, but they're pushing hard on you, and he didn't give in. Mm-hmm. He didn't give in to the cause for at least he hasn't yet to the end of the police department. I think he's smart now. Where I do fault him, this mayor, He didn't have the courage to say, hand me the microphone and let me tell you what happens when you dismantle a police department. That's what he should have done. So I give him credit for at least not yielding for the pressure of the moment from these people. And they were like hounds. They were like, I don't know, another, they were like people that were, they were ready to, I'm surprised they didn't, you know, tear him to shreds there. But he walked out of that crowd. It was a walk of shame because they were shouting him down for not being in favor of defunding the police.
Yeah, and other communities across the nation are calling for defunding the police. The House and Senate Democrats, we're talking about the federal government now in Congress, today are expected to unveil the new, quote, Justice and Policing Act of 2020.
Good.
Which would include major overhauls. I'm reading from a Fox News story. Major overhauls for how police officers around the country would do their jobs. It includes prohibiting the use of chokeholds, lowering legal standards to pursue criminal and civil penalties for police misconduct, and banning certain no-knock warrants. That's according, actually, to NPR, which was citing a Democratic congressional aide.
No-knock warrant, what is that?
So that's, I have to admit, I don't
that
like...
lady in Louisville? Kentucky?
I don't know. This is when you don't have to knock and hand a warrant, a search warrant, to somebody. You can just break in. The police. They smash the door open and go in.
They do that on Chicago PD every day. Have you ever watched it?
I've watched shows that do that.
Okay.
I personally am against no knock, not always, but generally speaking, I'm against no knock raids, because what happens is, I know, if someone breaks in my door in the middle of the night, now they may be shouting, you know, police, but I don't know what I'm going to hear. I'm grabbing my shotgun and I'm opening fire. And what happens is innocent people,
well,
you know, wind up
being dead. You know, that's what happened to that young lady in Louisville, Kentucky. I think I've forgotten her name now.
Yep.
But that's, she's one of the ones with George Floyd listed as an example of police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
They went into her apartment. Do you remember about this?
By mistake, they picked the wrong apartment.
That's what happens.
She was a police officer, I believe, off duty, healthcare.
But anyway, she was.
Anyway, so I didn't mean to open up that can.
Well, I ask you what that meant.
But the House and Senate Democrats are jumping into this as well.
Before I came into the studio, Nancy Pelosi was at the podium introducing this.
Yeah.
Went into a long statement about how she went to Africa last year and saw the museums, slavery, et cetera, et cetera. And she says this is needed, and she's calling on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to, before the next month, to pass this legislation that the Democrats want.
Going to Africa, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, this is what she did in
she's
her
linking
introduction.
It to slavery.
She's linking
what
police
slavery?
Brutality.
Probably the George Floyd death and police.
To slavery.
Brutality.
To
slavery? Are you talking about like 200 years ago slavery? 300 years ago?
Yes, sir. That's how she opened up her speech this morning.
You know what's the problem here, fellas? This thing has originally started out as a case of a case of police brutality.
Yes.
And abuse.
Yes.
Of George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
With the guy keeping his knee on his neck for 8.5 minutes and killing him,
yes.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
It started out as, okay, let's focus on how police treat people they have in their custody and mm-hmm. police brutality, and this is appalling, and 100% of the country agreed that this was appalling. That morphed into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Why? Mm-hmm. Why did we go from police brutality? A discussion of police brutality. By the way, the numbers are minuscule.
Yes.
About deaths.
Deaths to unarmed people in America, the latest statistics were for black unarmed people caused by police were like, Walker has them, but they're
it was 10 for
national.
National.
nationally, in like 20 whites. Mm-hmm. And we're burning down the country because of we're burning down the country. Well, we're not burning it. The country is in an uproar over, statistically speaking, something that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let me just jump in and just say, because I want us to make sure we're fair. The whole argument is not just about those who have been shot.
Yes, that's true.
The black community is saying
harassment.
Yes, harassment.
Please harass us.
Right. And we get these chokeholds and we get the knee in the back frequently. And so I just want to say that's the full argument. But now let me also just toss this in, that I think there is a reason why the country is in an uproar, and now Nancy Pelosi's talking about slavery and all that, is because there are protesters protesting their from the minority community, protesting their interactions with the police, and then simultaneously with that, there are radical groups that want to do things like defund the police,
yeah,
and fundamentally change the country. And those two streams have merged at a lot of these protests, and now most of us can't tell who's who, generally speaking.
Well, to your point, Tucker Carlson had a editorial last week which said that this really, what we're seeing now, really has little to do with the death of George Floyd anymore. This has to do with the Black Lives Matter. This has to do with the far leftist, Marxist, Leninist,
Antifa,
a political agenda,
right?
To tear down the country.
That's why I didn't understand why George Floyd's family brought in Al Sharpton to do a funeral service. You talk about turning it into a political football. They accuse President Trump of turning things into political football. Where is George Floyd's pastor? Why isn't he conducting the service? Why isn't it more dignified? Did it turn in? It was just a, you know what I'm saying? Now, I appreciate what his family was saying at the service from what I heard. You know, they lost a loved one. They were brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. Here was a guy trying to, I guess, turn his life around. He had a lifelong criminal. Talking about George Floyd, he had a rap sheet, very long, and did some horrible things, by the way, that he confessed to. One of them was holding a gun at a pregnant woman's stomach as they robbed her home. Did you read about this?
Yeah.
The guy was far from a saint. But my point is...
But he was trying to turn his life
around. He was trying to turn his life around, evidently. That was the story, and I saw a nice story on this on Christian Post or something. But anyway... to let Al Sharpton, and then Al Sharpton, what is it? His whole mantra during the this is supposed to be honoring a man who's passed away, and Al Sharpton is talking about President Trump, and I guess white people need to get their foot off the neck. Remember, he kept saying this over and over.
I did not hear his.
I got it for you. You want to watch it?
No,
Ed?
I don't.
Tonight? You want to watch it at home?
No, I don't.
Anyway, the point is Al Sharpton, who has a long history of race baiting, is doing the ceremony, which didn't help anything. But right. To me, it doesn't help race relations at what at all, one bit. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. But huge, huge marches over the country over the weekend in particular.
And people not 6 feet apart.
And let me just add something, one other thing too, because Tim, you were talking about how we've gone from George Floyd to all this, and you're talking about Black Lives Matter. We're talking about the organization. An organization, by the way, which seeks to get rid of the nuclear family, what they call the heteronormative nuclear family. This is a radical group. So they've succeeded in having the idea of Black Lives Matter, in other words, preserving the lives, especially of young black men, and that's been merged with the organization. But a recent poll out shows that only 16% of Democrats favor defunding the police. Mm-hmm. So they have quickly moved to a radical agenda that's not even shared by the majority of the political party. So that shows to me these radicals are seizing the moment to try to get as much accomplished as they can.
And this is a brilliant move on the part of Black Lives Matter, or at least they're taking advantage of this in a brilliant way. Now, don't miss it. That's a I'm giving them a backhanded compliment here because I don't agree with their agenda.
Right.
But here's what you got going on. You have Black Lives Matter, the organization, as Ed just stated one of their beliefs. They also believe in defunding the police. They don't believe in the police. So you got Black Lives Matter, the organization, which are Marxist, right, in their view. Would you?
I think that's okay. Yeah.
Okay. And they're really anti-God in many ways. And then you have, so that's Black Lives Matter with capital letters. And then you have Black Lives Matters with small letters, which is an expression, which everybody would agree with. Huh? Who doesn't agree that Black Lives Matter
right.
in terms of, especially, you know, God? And Christianity and the Bible teaches that all people matter to the Lord, right?
The image of God.
Image of God. So they're intentionally conflating these two. That's why that's why I guarantee you, if the vast majority of people out marching on the weekend who were holding up Black Lives Matter signs, I'm guessing this is just my guess. I have no statistics to back this up. Don't even know what Black Lives Matter, the organization, stands for.
Right.
No. They just know. They want to see peace in the country. They want to see racial unity in the country. And they want to be a part of saying to Black Americans, I care about you as a person and as a people. That's why I think you saw the numbers you did out over the weekend. I don't think that many people are for Marxism.
Right.
You know, or knew what they were standing for, or who would say, let's defund the police. But it's going to be a real conflict because within the Democratic Party and between the woke crowd, because you can't be woke enough. That's why the mayor of Minneapolis is shouted down, even though he's woke. If you don't know what woke means, you need to wake up. Okay, woke means that you understand the oppression caused by the white Christian culture, and you want to repudiate it and stand against it and dismantle it.
Right.
Okay, so that includes a lot of things, but that's being woke. And so you have to be sensitive to everything that the left says about race relations, or you're not woke. So that's what woke means. But they're going to, the woke crowd is going to eat each other. Because in Washington, D.C., the mayor up there put Black Lives Matter, she made a road and a plaza in big yellow words across a street.
Near the White House.
She was thumbing her nose at President Trump, so she decided to write Black Lives Matter on the street. Well, the Black Lives Matter, the organization, they don't like the mayor of Washington, D.C., even though she did this because they said, she doesn't agree with us on dismantling the police. So they're at war with one another. I'm imagining you having Bernie Sanders type folks who already don't like Biden.
That's right.
But they don't like the Democrat establishment. They're going to be, it's going to be interesting to see where they come down. They make up about a third of the Democrat Party, where they come down on these ideas of dismantling the police departments. But as I say, if you're a conservative, it's get out the popcorn.
Yeah.
Because these people are about to go to war with one another.
Right.
In an open way, it's going to get ugly. You're going to have a lot of people who are going to be canceled from culture. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
This reminds me a lot of the way I felt when Bill Clinton was president and I was on the air in Chicago, and especially when the Monica Lewinsky scandal came up and there was So much news that I could barely keep up then.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Democrats and the mainstream media are pushing back after President Trump promised to defend religious liberty and reopen churches. The president said he would override any governor who refuses to let people get back to the church house. Whether or not the president has the constitutional right to do that is up for debate. Many pastors are wondering why liquor stores and abortion clinics are considered essential, but churches are not. California, for example, released new guidelines limiting the number of people who can congregate inside a church house, a maximum of 100 worshipers. Journalists are towing the party line, publishing story after story of how shutting down churches could save lives. If blue state governors are going to temporarily suspend or curtail freedom of religion, they should do the same for freedom of the press. If they're going to shut down the churches, they should also shut down the newsrooms. Let's see what Anderson Cooper says about that. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
You think our listeners knew what woke meant, Ed? Most of them?
Oh, yeah, I think so. We have some pretty savvy listeners.
Okay. Well, my definition was correct, you think?
Yeah, no, I think that was, in fact, I don't know that I could have actually defined it, but you did a great job on that.
Yeah.
I mean, right back out of vacation, you don't get better than that.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate that. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim here with Fred and Ed. Our guest now is Dr. Robert Jeffress. He is pastor of the First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, and heard each weekday morning here on AFR and other fine radio program stations around the country on the Bible teaching program Pathway to Victory. And this is a surprise. He's got a new book out. Robert, how you doing this morning, my brother?
Doing great, Tim. Good to be with you.
You're a writing machine, man.
You write. Well, I tell you, this book, Praying for America, couldn't have come out at a better time. We started planning it 18 months ago, but, you know, given the pandemic, given the lawlessness in the streets, given the partisanship and the political divide, I think everybody would agree this is something we all need to be doing,
praying for America. What's the name of the book, and how do we get it?
Well, it's Praying for America. You can get it at Amazon.com right now. And what I do, Tim, there are 40 brief chapters, and in each chapter I start with a true story from American history about how faith has made a difference in the destiny of our country. You know, all the way from the Revolutionary War, stories from the Civil War, the Civil Rights Movement. And then there's a prayer for a specific area of American life to pray for. Praying for law enforcement officials, praying for pastors, praying for teachers. You know, I think the most patriotic thing we can do right now for the country we love is to pray for the country we love. And that's the theme of the book. And again, you can get it online, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or any of the online retailers.
Hey, Robert, we're talking to Dr. Robert Jeffers. Let me ask you a question. It's a broad question, but related to what's going on in our country right now.
Sure.
I know that you've been a friend of President Trump's for a while now. I guess prior to his election, you developed a friendship with him. Why do you think that the left and the mainstream media... Here comes a softball right across the heart of the plate for Dr. Robert Jeffers. But still, I have to ask this. From a Christian perspective, from a spiritual, biblical perspective, why do they come against him so hard and hate him so much?
Yeah, and I would add, it's not just the left, and it's not just the mainstream media. It's the Republican establishment, too. The Mitt Romneys, the George W.
Is it
Bushes.
Is it his personality, which we all know can be divisive sometimes?
I think there are a variety of answers. I think some people don't like his personality. I think the Republicans especially hated that he came in and upset their party, so to speak, and just, you know, took it away from the establishment and humiliated them in the process. But I think at the root of it, especially for unbelievers, it is his strong stand for things like the pro-life movement and pro-religious liberty and his stand for Israel. He has said to me many times, really, he has said, Robert, if I hadn't taken such a pro-life stance, the left would not hate me as much as I do. And I think it really is. I think that is the single issue that gets to them more than any other. And they're panicked as they see him now confirming more than 200 federal judges on appellate courts that will be there for the next 30 or 40 years. They are desperate to get him out of office, especially as they look at the prospect of one or two more Supreme Court picks in the next term.
Dr. Jeffers, Fred Jackson here. I have a question for you. I mean, do you think that even in the Christian community, the influence of 99.9% of the mainstream media is anti-Trump?
Yes.
And so, I mean, I'm amazed sometimes when even I talk to people who consider themselves conservative Christians, they're turning against President Trump. They're buying the lines from CNN and New York Times and the Washington Post. To me, that is absolutely shocking.
It is. And look, let's be honest. The Trump people have a problem in the polls right now, and they've got a problem with evangelical Christians. And I think there are a couple of reasons for that. I mean, I do think there's just been a trifecta of bad circumstances that have formed a perfect storm: the pandemic, the economic fallout from the pandemic, the lawlessness and riots in the streets. You already touched on a second factor, the unrelenting and unprecedented criticism from the mainstream media. I think those things are certainly conspiring together to really cause a problem with the polls. And, you know, Fred, the fact is most people, and I have to say it, most Christians are weak when you get down to it. They are very weak. They blow with public opinion, and they don't want to be thought of bad by other people, and so they just go back and forth. And I think all of that is contributing to this drop in the polls that we're seeing. Hopefully it's temporary. Yeah. I think the threat of the pandemic, the economy, those clouds, the lawlessness, I think that will eventually lift, hopefully in time for November.
Our guest is Dr. Robert Jeffress. He's written a new book, Praying for America, 40 Inspiring Stories and Prayers for Our Nation. Dr. Jeffress, this is Ed. Let me ask you this. It appears you do some traveling, but you certainly have your thumb on the pulse of what's happening spiritually in this country as well as politically. Do you think that Americans, now we've gone through, you know, the coronavirus lockdown, we've, you know, entered into a time of protests and rioting. Do you think most Americans have come to the place where they're ready to start praying, or do you think they're still kind of shrugging their shoulders at that Christian responsibility?
You know, I think it's kind of like the Dickens line. Spiritually speaking, it's been the best of times and the worst of times in America right now. I mean, I think this pandemic has caused a spiritual renewal among some. I mean, through our own church and Pathway to Victory program, in the last 10 weeks, we've seen over 18,000 people make professions of faith in Christ as Savior. So there is a spiritual hunger out there, and I think, you know, being faced with your mortality and the uncertainty of life has contributed to that. I think, though, there are going to be others who come out of this with exactly the wrong lessons. You know, in Italy, it was amazing the number of divorces that occurred after the pandemic had passed. People said, you know, life is short, and I want to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. And so I'm not sure what the ultimate effect of this is going to be. If it's going to be some great spiritual revival, I doubt it. I think it'll probably be back to business as usual.
Thanks for that optimism, Robert. We appreciate that. That just blesses
us. Just a student yeah. of history. No. But the good news is God always has a remnant of faithful people who do the work of ministry.
Amen. Talking to Dr. Robert Jeffress, joining us from Dallas. And when's your next appearance on Fox News, man? You're on there a lot.
Well, you know, there's been a lot going on lately, and I'm scheduled again Friday night with our good friend Lou Dobbs for our what we call the Amen segment to close out his program every week. So well, I'll be on Friday night and perhaps before then.
I appreciate what you do there because you give voice to our folks, you know, who want a place at the table, so to speak, to give their side of the argument.
I appreciate it. And by the way, I do have a brand new op-ed at foxnews.com on why it's time for churches to reopen, and I hope people will go there and look
at it. I read it.
Yeah, okay. It's a Fox News website?
Yes. .com.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, Robert, take care, my friend. Appreciate it.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks much.
Hey, that's Dr. Robert Jeffress joining us from Dallas.
He's one of those guys that God just elevated out of nowhere kind of thing, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just put him in a prime position to influence or have some influence on the president of the United States.
I disagree with that.
You don't think he's influential?
No, I disagreed with what Robert did initially.
Well,
2015.
When he supported President Trump even during the primaries.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, I don't think there were many of
Robert
us.
Robert didn't have any friends.
That's right.
Nobody was inviting him on the radio.
We did. We had him on. Remember, we had him on, and he was discussing that, but we disagreed with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've always been a friend of Dr. Jeffress.
He is a great guy. I love him. But I had a problem with that.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, Robert Jeffress developing a relationship with Donald Trump has been a great thing, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. And so Robert didn't know whether – talk to him about this, and he'll tell you he didn't know that Donald Trump would win the presidency or not, but he was convinced that he was the only one that could beat Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think he's right about that.
I think so.
In hindsight, I think he's right about that. Mm-hmm. So – Robert decided, hey, how can I be an influence on this man who might likely be president?
Right.
How can I be an influence? I can develop a relationship with him, be a friend to him, advise him, counsel him. And that's what he's done. Right. Now, does Donald Trump always practice that?
Right.
You know, we know that President Trump often lacks some fruits of the spirit in his behavior.
Right.
Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
He usually reverts to a New York businessman sometimes in the way he responds to things. Now, some people would say, well, he has to. Look, the man's attacked every day, all day. He's got to fight back. I understand that. But I'm just saying, for if you look at the bigger picture and what's most important, Robert mentioned the judges. Mm-hmm. President Trump has appointed What did he say, 200?
Yes.
200 federal judges that will be there for the next 20, 20, 30 years. Imagine had Hillary Clinton been the one appointing those federal judges.
Mm-hmm.
Those far-left judges, they would have been in control of the whole federal court system.
Right.
Imagine that.
In fact, President Obama left all those vacancies, I think, assuming that Hillary would fill them with like-minded individuals.
Yes. So, and the stand for pro-life.
Yes.
The stand with Israel.
Yes.
The stand that the president has taken for America's economic interest around the world.
Mm-hmm.
He took on China.
Yes.
You don't take on China, doesn't you? Don't you know that?
Right.
Donald Trump? Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I have a problem. We all do. Oh, and I don't know, but we all do. Most of us do with some of the things that he tweets. I think they're petty and unnecessary for him to comment on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just who he is.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And when you have a binary choice, that means a choice between two people.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump with his tweets, or Hillary Clinton calling me a deplorable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess who I'm going with on that one?
Yeah.
So I do think that that some of his tweets like that do bother Christians because we think it's because it's not mannerly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not the way a president should behave, mm-hmm. and I agree with that. But that's not going to cancel to me. That's not going to cancel out the more important, bigger things that matter to the to our country, which are the judges,
mm-hmm.
which are the actions that he takes. Let me tell you something. Am I ranting?
It's all right. You got to get a good rant every once in a while.
You've been away for 10 days.
I've been away. I've got things to say. Okay, let me tell you something, and I think most people listening to this radio network understand it. There are people who want to come after us, and by us, I mean specifically Christian conservatives, more generally conservatives, people who are First Amendment, Second Amendment supporters. Now, that's a lot of people I've just described. But these far-left folks have a special hatred for Christians.
Yes.
Yes.
They can't stand us.
Mm-hmm.
We're deplorables. They loathe us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is not really reasonable or even understandable, except that they can't stand the God of the Bible.
That's right. Right.
And we're his representatives on earth, so we believe in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
They hate the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in God. I'm talking about God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They can't stand the idea that people would believe in the God of the Bible that gives truth and morality,
mm-hmm.
and those kinds of things. So, and also with that, we believe in the Constitution of the United States,
mm-hmm.
and that the rule of law. Those things they really have a problem with. So, and combine that with the, as Robert Jeffers said, the life issue,
mm-hmm.
Satan. If you don't believe in Satan, then I'll just tell you, you disagree with Jesus, okay?
Right.
Because Jesus believed in Satan and confronted Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about a real
mm-hmm.
being, a spiritual being that the Bible talks about. I know there's some people listening to us going, man, that's Bigfoot stuff right there. These people are whacked out talking about us.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Right.
The Bible says that Jesus confronted Satan, right?
Right.
Yes.
And in the end, defeated Satan, mm-hmm. by overcoming death.
That's right.
Right.
All right. So there's satanic forces, mm-hmm. that are at work,
mm-hmm.
on earth to bring down America.
Yeah.
They want, why would Satan want to bring down America? Because America exports Christianity more than any other country in the world. As bad as we are,
right,
as a country, that's still true.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we have a remnant, mm-hmm. of people here in the country, as Robert said, who still stand for biblical truth and morality. Mm-hmm. So they can't, all those things, and also, abortion is child sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's like the Old Testament practice of child sacrifice.
Which was Baal worship, true?
Moloch.
Moloch.
Several
false gods?
Yeah.
But that is a act of sacrifice before Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Killing the unborn,
yes.
The innocent,
mm-hmm.
Murdering. So, again, I know this sounds crazy to some people, but I'm just telling you, it's not. So, if you're in favor of that, right,
mm-hmm.
You're against the people who are against that.
Right.
You want to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the main spiritual issues that are going. It is going on right here,
yeah.
As Robert said.
Yeah.
Okay, rant
that
complete.
Was a good rant.
No, it's good. When I was talking with Pastor Jeffers a few moments ago, I mentioned the mainstream media. Right now, if you read the mainstream media, President Trump is responsible for the pandemic. He's responsible for all the American people who have died because of the pandemic, because he didn't do enough at the beginning. I'm just repeating.
No, that's what CNN and others, that's what they're going to say. They're going to say that today and next week. And
they're also blaming President Trump for the civil unrest in our country right now. All right. So with all of that, last Friday, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that the Washington Post put out a headline before the actual statistics came out on the unemployment. Prepare yourself for another dire day of facts about where we are with the unemployment rate. They project an unemployment rate of 20%.
Yeah.
More Americans unemployed. I would have loved to have been in the newsroom of the Washington Post and the New York Times when the real statistics came out. 2.5 million people found themselves back at work again in the month of May. The unemployment rate dropped to 13.5. Now, that is still ridiculously high, but they were projecting 20%.
Right.
It dropped down. So I believe, I mentioned this to Dr. Jeffress, and I say this to my fellow Christians, stop believing what CNN says. Stop believing what the Washington Post says. Look to reality. And to that point, there is another poll out this morning. We have it on One News Now, and please go read it. It's a poll done by the Associated Press and a university, and you would expect it to be dire news for conservatives. But what it says is that 70% of those polled believe that America's healthcare system, driven by the private sector, is the best. Now, that's in the wake of all the pandemic news,
right?
The crisis that we are in the country. But 70% to 28%, I think it was, believe that we ought to stick with the healthcare system that we have, and they don't trust the government. So there you have
You're
it.
You're ranting, Fred. You're
I know I'm ranting.
I just ranted. Was off on vacation last week, too.
Yeah, so we can have two rants. I just took one, you took the other.
And I'm not the kind of person who rants.
No, you're not.
So I'm just
you're
gonna,
very calm,
yes.
Reasoned.
That's right. You had all last week, right?
Yeah.
To make this point once again, folks, stop trusting the mainstream media to paint the picture of what's going on in this country right now. You know, we were traveling in northern Tennessee last week. There was a demonstration Friday night in the city we were in, north of Nashville. And I believe people have the right to demonstrate. And those people were out there quietly demonstrating their concerns. It was all done properly. They weren't busting into stores and stealing things. They weren't setting buildings on fire. They were expressing their point of view. That kind of demonstration is also happening all across this country, but you don't see them on your 6 o'clock news at night. All you see is the other stuff, and you get to be you're seeing a false picture, really, of what's going on in this country. I don't think there'll be a lot of municipalities in this country who will do what Minneapolis is doing.
Right.
Vote to get rid of them.
Especially after if Minneapolis actually does it.
Yes.
Then they'll watch and see what happens.
I tell you where you're going to. I agree that they won't necessarily. You won't find many that are going to defund the police altogether. But the war on between the progressives and the police is you're not going to have to defund the police. The police departments are going to suffer by attrition.
Mm-hmm.
In my, I don't think there's any question about that. In Los Angeles, they did. The mayor announced he was cutting the budget of the police by what?
$150 million.
$150 million. So if you're a policeman right now, and we get emails from policemen and sheriff deputies and stuff, and I'm not necessarily talking about in these smaller cities. I'm talking about maybe under 200,000 or under 500,000. Where I'm talking about your big metropolitan areas, like your big cities, cops are going to get out of there like crazy, in my opinion, especially white officers. You cannot get into a confrontation with a young black male in particular.
It's lose-lose, you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Huh? I can tell you, they're not going to admit to it necessarily, although probably some would straight up if you were off the record.
Yeah.
You tell me you're a white police officer in this climate we're living in, and you see a black male who appears to be 25 going 70 in a 50, you think you're going to stop him? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Are you crazy?
Because if it escalates.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right. Let me give you another example here, too. And this is happening as well. You're seeing this happen a lot. And this isn't just, this is race indifferent. This is just whites, blacks, Hispanics, whatever. There is a growing disrespect for the officer's commands. Okay. Here's where a lot of this tension is coming from, and this is where a lot of problems are happening. The police officer, again, this is not just a black or a white. This is younger people, a lot of younger people in particular. But this does imagine this with a 25-year-old African-American or a 21-year-old African-American male and a police officer, a white police officer. Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to get out of your car. I'm not getting out of my car. I ain't done nothing wrong. Sir, I'm going to ask you one more time to get out of your car. Let me tell you something. Blankety, blankety, blank, you cop. You racist pig. Okay, at that point, that's assuming the cop even pulls him over in the first place or has a confrontation in the street or suspects somebody is selling drugs. You go up, you say, I want to see what you got in your pocket. I ain't showing you nothing, you pig. Get out of here.
Right.
Well, what's going to happen is that cop's going to turn and walk away. Or if he, because what am I supposed to do at that point? Get into a physical altercation? It does require that of telling a cop, forget you, man, or go jump in a lake. They got other more colorful ways of saying that to police officers. But they're going to say, whatever they're going to say. And then what's the cop supposed to do? Well, in reality, he's supposed to say, you can't do that.
Turn around, you're under arrest.
Yeah. He's not going to say that because then the guy's going to push him.
Yeah.
And then the body cam comes on. And then does it ever look good on a body camera for a police officer to take down a civilian? Raise your hand if you've ever watched that on TV and go, man, that I appreciate that. That looks really, I'm glad the cops, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No. A person with a bully club and a gun and handcuffs taking down anybody, when the camera comes, they don't show you. It's like the kid in the grocery store. You walk around the corner and you see a mother wearing a three-year-old out. And you go, that is almost abuse. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what you didn't see?
Yeah.
You didn't see the 10 minutes of the kid rebelling against the mother before she reached that point. But guess what? With cops today, you know when the camera comes on? When the whooping begins.
Yeah, the body cam should be on all the time.
The body cams and the cell phone cameras.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when they come on. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.